We're honored this morning to have J.J. Hendricks with us. He was here with us not too far back. He's here in the absence of Dan, which is in a meeting in Franklin, and he'll be there through Wednesday. J.J. Hendricks, he's a public relations director for the Brown Trail School of Preaching. He's married and has one child, and his wife and child is here today. We're glad to have them. He attended Brown Trail School of Preaching. He lives in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and we're just glad to have him back again today. So, J.W.
I really appreciate the opportunity to be back this morning. April, I got to meet Brother Dan at a gospel meeting, and one of the things he said I wrote in the front cover of my book, or in front of my Bible, and he said, "Don't start at 10:30 sharp and end at 11:30 dull." I'm sure y'all have heard that before, but God demands doctrinal preaching, and we can get excited about the truth, amen? I'm excited about the truth, and I'm excited to be here this morning. I'd like for you to take yourselves back to the early 1970s, which is hard for me to do considering I was born in 1982. But what I vision is leisure suits and big poofy hair, disco balls. I could be wrong. I mean, that's kind of what I see. But I also see a sweet little older lady. A sweet little older lady that lived next to a young couple who weren't Christians. And this sweet little older lady would go next door and invite the wife over for a Bible study. I don't know how many times this happened, but finally, the young woman went over and had the Bible study, and they watched the Jewel Miller film strips. And this young woman obeyed the gospel, and she started bringing her husband to the services of the Lord's church. He heard the truth, and he obeyed the gospel as well. He grew in his faith, as they both did. They knocked doors. They shared the gospel. He began to preach. He went over to Africa for a few years to seek and save the lost. He became the director of a school of preaching. He had three sons and a daughter. The three sons became gospel preachers, and the daughter married one. I'm talking about my father-in-law, Robert Stapleton, the director of the Brown Trail School of Preaching. He wasn't reared in the church, but the example of a sweet older lady next door to come and have a Bible study helped my mother-in-law and my father-in-law obey the gospel. This morning, if you're taking notes, the title of this sermon is called A Blueprint for Being an Example. Our key scripture will be 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, if you'll turn there with me. If you're not going to turn in your Bible, please pick up a songbook and thumb through that. I like to hear pages turn. Just humor me, makes me feel like I'm being heard. You really picked up a songbook. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." When Paul wrote to Timothy, Timothy was worried that because he was so young, that more seasoned Christians wouldn't listen to him tell the truth. So Paul told him, "This is how you can be an example." This morning, we're going to use these five things that Paul told Timothy, and we can understand that at any age, if you've obeyed the gospel, these five things you need to have in check. Our first point this morning is we must be an example in our speech. If you'll turn with me over to the book of Colossians in chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 6, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Let your speech be gracious, seasoned with salt. Would it make sense for someone who professes to be a Christian to sit in services on Sunday morning and partake of the Lord's Supper, sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, hear a lesson from the Word of God, and then go right back to telling dirty jokes, using coarse language. Do you think this is an example not only to the believers but to non-believers? I was raised with not very many Christians surrounding me, but those who professed that they were. And some of them used foul language and then would try to convince me how good of a Christian they were and that I should come and do some of the things with them. And I was like, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Their example was shod. So when you leave the church building, what type of language do you use? In the workplace, at home, when you go to the Walmart, when you go to places like this, what type of language do you use? I like to look back at Jesus and the apostles, and I really have doubts that when nobody was around that Jesus would lean over to Peter and say, listen to this filthy joke I heard. Don't tell anybody else, but it is hilarious. I don't think Jesus did that. Nor do I think that we should either. When we understand that we should be examples of what Christ would have us to do, we understand the importance of living a Christian life. Now, I'm not from Palestine, but we came into town and it said there were 17,000 people that lived in this town. Am I right? Around that, give or take? I don't know. Don't know how often we update our signs around here. But I saw 17,000 people. Brothers and sisters and friends, if you look around the auditorium this morning, do you see 17,000 people? Now, I'm from Arkansas, and I'm not very good at math, but I don't think I see 17,000 people. So doesn't it make that much more sense for us to be a positive example in our speech? The taming of the tongue, as James chapter 3 speaks of, is so difficult. But when we can be a positive example. Our second point this morning is we must be an example in our conduct. If you'll turn with me over to the book of Matthew in chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And I hate to bring this up, but warming up a pew on Sunday isn't considered a good work. That's called obedience. And obedience, we shouldn't get a gold star for being obedient. Sitting in church, I love this line, sitting in church makes you as much of a Christian as sitting in McDonald's makes you a Big Mac. Sitting in church on Sundays makes you as much of a Christian as sitting in a driveway makes you a car. How do you live your life? I'm sure we have visitors here this morning. And it's easy to walk up to a visitor and introduce yourself. I'm a member here at the Crockett Road Church of Christ. We welcome you. We're glad you're here. And it's easy to be on good behavior for about an hour. But what if that visitor rode with you in your car during rush hour? What if that visitor went to the movies with you? What if that visitor listened to the music you listened to, watched the TV shows you watch? Would that visitor still say, that's what a Christian should be? Our example is so important in the community. Our example is so important all around. I imagine the sweet older lady that lived next door to my in-laws, if she had been cursing like a sailor, and every time Bob and Marsh would go home, she's telling dirty jokes to them and yelling obscenities, or if she's walking in with a pack of beer and having gentleman callers and always, I mean, just not being a nice person. Do you think that my in-laws would have said, you know, I want to study the Bible with that person? Have you ever been around somebody who's just filthy? Tells dirty jokes? Does things that they shouldn't do? Have you ever been around that kind of person? Did it ever run across your mind to say, I want my relationship with God to be like theirs? It shouldn't. Our conduct is so important. Not only as we stir one another up for good works, being an example to the believers, but we should be the light of the world and the community. We shouldn't be going to the liquor stores. We shouldn't be going into the R-rated movies or some PG-13 movies. We should be doing everything in our power to be the best example that we can be. People say, well, I don't like being a fish in a fishbowl. Sorry. As a Christian, we're in the minority. And people are already wanting to pick us apart. We need to be an example in our conduct. Amen? Our third point this morning is we need to be an example in our love. Let's turn over to John 13. I like this scripture, kind of called it a biblical tongue twister. John in chapter 13. Starting in verse 33. Or starting in verse 34, sorry. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Don't you think that Jesus was trying to get a point across? That we should have love for one another? I can't help but think about the book of Galatians, if you'll turn with me there to chapter 6. The people in the Galatian church kind of had some problems with kind of one-upping each other. If somebody was falling in sin, instead of telling that person, they were telling everybody else. They were trying to say who was the best Christian. You know, we look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. We read, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. I like to take this scripture twofold. Wouldn't it be fantastic if the congregation gossips and backbiters would preface what they were saying with, I'm just not a very spiritual person? I mean, if we can't control our tongues and we got to gossip and talk nasty about people, wouldn't it be great if in the community with people who aren't believers, if they would just go ahead and say, you know, I'm not a very spiritual person, but here's some juicy gossip I have for you. You know, I think that'd be pretty fantastic. Because I don't want anybody out in the community thinking that members of the Lord's church are going to stoop to gossiping. Would you? So wouldn't it be great if they would preface their comments with, I'm just not very spiritual. I warm up a pew on Sunday, I'm not very spiritual, so let me tell you this juicy story. But twofold, those who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Now, if I broke my leg, I would go to a doctor, of course. But I wouldn't go to a doctor that would berate me and tell me how dumb I am for breaking my leg and hit me with a hammer a few times and then set my leg. Would you want to go to that doctor? I wouldn't want to go to that doctor. I'd want to go to a doctor that's going to gently restore that bone so it can grow again in the proper manner. And that's what restore is talking about, is a broken bone. Restore it so it can get back to its former strength. We as Christians need to show love. As I said earlier, we're in the minority. There are a lot of people outside these doors that not only don't want to become Christians, but also don't like the truth. We call that grocery store Christianity. I'll take some of this. I'll take some of that. I'll take some of this. But I don't want to have any of that. It's not how the Bible works. But if we as Christians show love for one another, we share love, we build one another up, out in the community we're known as loving people, we're going to be a good example. Our fourth point this morning, we must be an example in our faith. If you'll turn with me over to the book of Romans in chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 17, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. That is, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." If we look over at Hebrews, the 11th chapter, starting in verse 1, we read, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I know that if I obey the gospel, if I live a Christian life, that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. We can know this without a shadow of doubt, that if we are living the right way, where we will spend our eternity if we've obeyed the gospel." But have you ever been around somebody that all they do is moan and groan? All they do is gripe and complain? You ever think, I want to know where they attend services? They want to talk bad about the government. They want to talk bad about church. They want to talk bad about their home life. They want to talk bad about work. Do you ever just sit back and think, I just want to get to know them? I want to know what their relationship with God is like. You know, I really want to be like them. That is an example that I would like to be like. Absolutely not. If I know where I'm spending my eternity, I should be overjoyed. I should be ready and willing and able to share the gospel because I know that I have the truth. Do you have the truth? Are you excited to bring it? I'm excited. Our faith should be that we know. We know the Bible's true. We know that if we obey what's inside, that good things are going to happen eternally. Are bad things going to happen to us on earth? Yeah. Can things get you down and depressed? Sure. But you don't make it a habit. If we're going to be an example to believe, not only believers but to non-believers, I'm excited because I know that whatever the devil throws my direction, whatever temptation comes my way, I can get out of it and I can be positive because I know I'm going to go to heaven. I think you can tell how excited I get. Trying not to get into football coach mode, it's difficult. I love the Lord. I'm excited. The future of the church is as bright as we make it. If we don't go out and share the gospel, people aren't going to hear the word. People are going to go to hell. But if we share the gospel, people obey the gospel, the future of the church is bright, bright, bright. We don't need to have a defeatist attitude. There are people searching for the truth today. Let's be the one that goes and finds them. Amen? Because I know that if I've done what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to go to heaven. And that feels great. Our final point this morning is we must be an example in our purity. If you'll turn with me over to 1 Peter, the first chapter, starting in verse 14. "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." Being holy is being sanctified. Being sanctified is being set apart. We should be different than those who don't know the Lord. We should be different. People should see that we're not like people that don't have God. Amen? So would it make sense for a Christian to go and see those aforementioned R-rated movies? If I'm striving to be set apart and I know that nothing but filthiness is going to be on that movie, does it make sense for me to go watch it? I mean, my wife and I were the biggest dorks in the young adult class. We'd go out on dates and guess what we went and watched? Cartoons. I expected a bigger laugh than that. Your check's in the mail. You got a good laugh. We should be sanctified. We should be set apart. How often do you hear a brother or sister listening to filthy music and say, should you really be listening to that? Oh, it doesn't affect me. You know, I can watch those kind of movies and, you know, it doesn't bother me. Have we all heard somebody say this? I've heard people say this, so I'm preaching. I'll say what I've heard. I've heard people say that just doesn't affect me. It should. Anything that's filthy, that's using the Lord's name in vain, that's using language not appropriate for Christians, should be something we avoid. If we're going to be an example in our purity, we're not going to be getting drunk. I'm not even going to take that first drink. If I'm going to be an example, I am totally set apart. Not one foot in the world. Not one foot in the church. I am firmly in the church. I'm firmly obeying God. Our purity should be a number one goal. I don't like hearing words that I shouldn't hear and stubbing my toe and letting something slip out that I'm ashamed of. I'm sure I'm not the only one. We should be striving to live pure lives. Our example is so important. So in conclusion this morning, if we're going to be a proper example to not only the believers, but a proper example to non-believers, our speech will be clean. It's really hard to curse, use profanity, tell filthy jokes, and say, you should come to church with me. It's not going to work. We should be examples in our conduct. I don't want to go anywhere that I wouldn't be comfortable taking Jesus or an elder or Brother Dan or a deacon or any member of the congregation with me. We need to be an example in our love. We need to love lost souls and understand that we have to share the gospel. It is a commandment, but it's a blessing too. We have to be an example in our faith. If we know where we are spending eternity, we should be wanting to take as many people with us as possible. We should be a happy people. We should be an excited people. And we must also be an example in our purity. We don't need to go places we shouldn't go. We don't need to fill our minds with things that aren't pleasing to the Lord. We need to be sanctified. We need to be set apart. This morning, if you've obeyed the gospel and let something come in your way of that Christian walk, hit your knees and pray. Ask for forgiveness and be ready to get your life back right. But if you're trapped in a sin that you can't get out of, come forward. I'm sure we will pray for you. We will pray with you. It would be much better for you to be embarrassed this morning and have the help of your brothers and sisters get out of a sin and spend eternity in heaven than sit in your pew ashamed, not able to get out of a sin and spend an eternity in hell. But if you've never obeyed the gospel, there's no amount of good works that you can do that can wipe away one sin. If you've heard the gospel and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're ready to repent, that's 180 degrees of living the sinner's life and then going to live a Christian life, turning your back on a sinful life. You're ready to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and be immersed in water to walk in a newness of life and be faithful until death. Friend, there's no better time to become a brother or sister in Christ than right now. This life is but a vapor. If we can pray for you or if you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.
Just as I